Thank you, Abby, for singing that for us. How true that God alone, Christ alone, has the power to redeem. As I prepared for sermon this morning, I was thinking about the commissioning coming up. And something that had been kind of on my mind for the last month or so was raising our children. How we go about raising our children? And so the verse that keeps coming back to your mind, and everyone, there are several verses that come. One of the first one is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, what does it mean to train up a child? How do you train up a child? How do we go about training them? So you think about, what about if you're trying to train someone for a job? If you're trying to train someone to build cabinets, mow grass, build houses, whatever it is, if you're trying to train them how to do that, I wouldn't be very good at training somebody how to build cabinets. I don't know how to build cabinets. I don't know how to build houses. I would not be the person to train someone in doing that. If I trained someone to do that, I would do a pretty lousy job, and they would do a pretty lousy job in return. So, if I'm trying to train someone, if I'm trying to train my little ones to be good Christians, that means my life has to be in order. That means I need to be a good Christian. What kind of Christian will they be if my children grow up just like me? What kind of asset to the church will they be if my children grow up just like me? So today, I think I'm going to focus more on our lives. We need to get our lives in order so that we can in turn train our children. Because if we don't know how to do it ourselves, if we don't know how to live our lives ourselves, we're certainly not going to do well at training our children. Another verse that comes to mind, or another couple of verses that come to mind quite quickly, when you think about that, is Psalms 127. Verses 3 to 5, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, Wesley had a pretty full quiver, and he's shooting his last arrow out this week. As you think about that, I'm sure there's been thoughts that went through his mind. They're him and Sandra's mind is, have we done enough? Have we trained her right? I think they've done a pretty good job with her. It's probably why it says that the children of one's youth, we need to train them when they're young. Most of my training that we had done with Emma has been done. There's not a whole lot you can change at this point. We have to train them when they're young. So, with that being said, ask yourself, what kind of a warrior are you? Are you a good warrior? Are you a bad warrior? Where are your arrows going? It's not too late to change it for some of us. So with that being in mind, I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 5. I'm going to start at 28. And as I read, last time I read a little bit out of Deuteronomy, I talked about the heart of God. And I was drawn back to it. Even as I was preparing for that sermon, I was reading parts of it, and I was like, wow, this is too much to share today. But I wanted to come back to it. So I'm going to break this up into sections, and then we're going to I'm going to go over what I think God is trying to say in each one of these sections. So first one is Deuteronomy 5, 28 to 32. I'm sorry, to 33. To the end of that chapter. It says, and the Lord, this is a couple of verses before it. They're going over the Ten Commandments. And then the people were afraid of God's presence. So they told Moses, said, you stay and you talk to God and you tell us what he has to say. So Moses has gone to the Lord, and the Lord is now beginning to speak to him what he should say. It says, Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commands, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. God has given Moses the things that he wants to teach them. And the thing that I've noticed, I'm going to be going through chapter 7, verse 6, all the way through that, through the whole chapter, through the remainder of chapter 5 here, through chapter 6, and through chapter verse 6 of chapter 7. And six times it's talked about in that short section that we are to fear God, or to keep his commandments, or to obey his words, or to walk in the ways which he has commanded them. Six times it's mentioned in that short section of verses, probably 35 verses, it's mentioned six times. And it said that it might be well with them and with their children forever. In verse 29 it says, always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. It's very important to God, it seems, that we should remember this. He says it over and over, that it might be well with them. And as you think about it, as parents, we don't reward our children for bad behavior, because what does that give you? More bad behavior. So God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with more. You know, it says, verse 29 says, may be well with them and with their children forever. And then it goes down, verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. God wants to bless us, but he wants obedience too. He requires obedience. And I don't believe that if you do everything that you're supposed to do, that you'll be rich, that you'll be wealthy, but I believe you will be blessed. I believe that God will bless you for obedience. You see, in verse 31, it says, I will speak to you. God is giving to Moses the things, and in return, it's up to us. God is giving to us the things that we are to teach our children. We are to teach them to obey. We are to teach them to follow his commands. Going down to chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. So God had given Moses these things to teach his children. That you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. So when they go into the promised land, He wanted him to remember these things. He wanted them to obey them. It says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So he wants to do these things. He wants these to bless. God wants to bless not only me. He wants to bless my children, and he wants to bless my grandchildren. He wants to continue this. We have to keep this thing going. We have to keep teaching our children. If we teach our children, they'll teach the next ones. Verse 3, it says, therefore, hear, pay attention. He's trying to get Israel's attention. It says, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here again, it says, may be well with you. God wants the best things for us. He wants it. He has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, pay attention. Again, pay attention. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So he's, again, as I spoke about last time, we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. Everything we have. Going on to verse 6, and these words shall be, which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And as you think about it, we have to be intentional with our children when we teach them. We have to be intentional as we live our lives, because they are watching us. They are watching you to see what your reaction is, to see what you do. Whether you realize it or not, they are watching you. As I think about, you know, leaving school, you think when you leave school that, oh, you know, you're done learning. You're learning the rest of your life. And as a child, you don't just teach a child when they're in school. You don't just teach them when you're at home. Okay, now children, we're going to teach you how to do this. And then they're done. They don't learn anything else. They're learning from your reactions that you have, things that happen in your life. You know, as Mark shared about Job and Jonah, the reactions that we have. They're learning from your reactions. They're learning from what you do when things happen to you, whether you truly believe what you say you believe. You know, your children watch you. Are you the same person when you're around different people? Are you the same person at home that you are on vacation? Are you the same person? Do you allow your children to do things when they're young, that suddenly when you become old, they're not allowed to do anymore? What? It confuses them. You know, we have to make sure that when we teach our children, that we're intentional. Everything that we do, and it may seem kind of heavy and kind of like a big load, but everything that we do, we need to be intentional with what we do, because our children are learning from us. And I know it's hard for me, because sometimes I come home from work and I just want to sit down and rest. And, you know, those moments can be good teaching moments. Those moments can be time I spend with my children much better. But we need to be consistent with what we do. You know, it says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That pretty much covers everything you do, your whole day. Whether you're sitting at home, whether you're walking by the way, if you're traveling, it contains the whole thing. They go on to say, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And I had a picture from when we were in Israel that I was going to get, but I didn't get to it, of a guy that at the wailing wall there in Jerusalem, and he had the phylacteries wrapped around his arm and on his forehead. But I think that's more maybe of a just a thing for us to remember. Keep it always in front of us. Keep it always with us. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. How many of you notice that there's a little Jewish saying on the doorpost as you walk in the church here? Elvin put it there several years ago. Probably most of us don't pay any attention to it, but I thought of it as I was reading this. You know, write them on the doorposts of your house. Put scripture up in your house. Teach your children. That's an easy way to teach them. You know, something they see every day that they can read every day. I had something happen at work. A lady that I've been watching at work, one of the jobs that I do, it's an apartment place, and there's a lady that lives there, and I think it's just she has maybe one daughter, maybe two. I see them going in and out. I'm not sure, exactly sure how many there is. But the lady wears a long skirt, and she wears a head covering. And her daughter wears a long skirt and a head covering all the time. And so the other day I asked her, I said, you know, what church do you go to? Where do you go to church? And she said, I don't go to church. I said, you don't? And she said, no. And I said, where do you get the, you know, covering your head? And she was like, from the Bible. And I said, 1 Corinthians, 11. And she's like, yeah. And I didn't talk to her very long. I'd love to talk with her more. But she's obviously read the Bible. What a novel concept that we would read the Bible and we would believe it and we would obey it. And I told her that, you know, I've seen her, and you know, I told her that what we are, and that, you know, her daughter's always respectful, polite. They're both, you know, very happy people. I would say her daughter's between the age of 12 and 14, maybe. But it's just, it's not something you normally see. And I was challenged by the fact that she said, you know, she reads it in her Bible, and, you know, that's what she does. But yeah, it was challenging to me. And then another scripture I have is 2 Timothy 3:14-15. And Paul's talking to Timothy and says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Teach them when they're young. It says the things you have learned, been assured of, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. And we know that Timothy learned from his grandmother. His grandmother taught him. We have to teach them. Teach our children what to do. Going on, verses 10 through 12, it talks about the things that we have. It says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So we have all these things that the Israelites were given when they went into the promised land and conquered these cities. And they immediately became wealthy, became the possessors of these wonderful things. And I had to think about, we're not living in times like that, but yet we have it pretty easy. In maybe not an actual sense, but we are living in cities and houses that we did not build. Our Anabaptist forefathers paved the way for us. They went through horrible times, horrible things to preserve the faith that we have, the beliefs that we have. And somewhere along the lines, they moved to America. And we now live in America where we have all we need, all we want. But it says, do not forget God. Don't forget Him. Don't forget the Lord. Verse 13 says, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him, and shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted Him in Massah. We are to fear God. We are to serve Him. We are not to follow after the things of this world. We don't have people around us worshiping little gods that they made, but we have people around us worshiping little gods that they made. Maybe not in a sense that it sits on a shelf, but it might sit in their driveway. It might sit in our driveway. It might be what we live in. Let's not worship those things. Let's not follow after those things. Say, for the Lord your God is the jealous God. You know, as you think about Job and the life that he lived, God was allowed everything that he had to be taken away from him to prove that, you know what? That's not why he was serving God. It was not because of how God had blessed him. He served him because he believed he should. You should not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. The Israelites had tempted him and said, you know, it's the Lord among us. They had tempted him. We shouldn't do that. You should diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. Again, over and over it says this. And if you keep on going through these chapters in Deuteronomy, you'll read more that says that it may be well with you. You may go in and possess the good land of which the fathers swore to your fathers. So he's saying it may be well with you that you may go on. You may possess the good land. You may get all these things, these cities and things that God's going to give them. And it says to cast out all your enemies from before you as the Lord has spoken. So God told them, cast all these people out. And then verse 20 says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God, our God, has commanded you? And as I read this, the thought came to me that, you know what? You're going to have to be living right, because if you're not living right, your son's not going to ask this. So again, we've got to make sure that we are living right. We are living right. That your children can see maybe there is something different. As a Sunday school lesson said that, you know what, there's going to be times that we're made spectacles of. You know, there's going to be times when we look different. And our children are going to say, why do we look different? Why are we different from everybody else around us? Why can't we be like them? It says, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Now, we haven't been slaves in Egypt, but we have been slaves to sin. And Christ died for our sins, and he made a way to deliver us from our sins. And that's more than delivering from Egypt. That is giving us eternal life. So we have something to tell our kids about. We have something to say. You know what? We don't live like that because God saved us. Christ saved us from that. We don't have to live that way. Verse 24, it says, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always. It's for our good, for our own good. How many times as parents do we want to get our kids to do something? And we tell them it's for your own good. You need to do this. They don't understand it. We don't understand it maybe, but it is for our own good. God has a plan for us. It says that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. And then we go to chapter 7. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. And we're not a conquering people. We can't go into Greenwood and completely wipe it out and make it our own country and start over again. That's not how it works. And unless you want to move to maybe somewhere in Antarctica or somewhere empty island and start raising your family there, you're going to have people around you. You can't just destroy them like the Israelites were told to do. But God wanted them to utterly destroy them. You should make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. He didn't want them involved. He didn't want them with his people. But what do we have in our lives? What are the Girgashites, Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites in our lives? What are the things that we hold on to in our lives that we're passing on to our children? What are we giving to them? What are we holding on to? What can we do to make our lives, our children's lives, hey, give them a pure environment to grow up in? I had to think of, if you had a yard, if your yard that you where you lived at was full of snakes, would you send your children out to play in them? No, you wouldn't. You go out there and you get rid of all the snakes in your yard before you send your children out there to play in them. But yet, we want to hold on to the things in our lives. Maybe we think that no one else can see them. Maybe we think that our kids won't notice our inconsistencies, the things that we do when no one is watching. But kids are always watching. They're always seeing what you're doing. We need to make sure that we make it safe for them. Let's not get as close as we can to the world and be as close as we can. And then finally in verse 6, it says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. God has chosen us. He wants us to be a people for himself, a special treasure. Let's do what we can to continue that, to pass that on to our children, to see them go on in life. You know, I can't think of anything greater in my life than to see my children follow after God, follow after Christ, to serve him, to be strong Christians. To me, that would be the greatest thing ever. So I hope that this has challenged you, as it challenged me this morning. Why don't we close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have Abby come up and we'll do the commissioning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us your word. I pray that you would just help us to live our lives in a way that would bring honor and glory to you. Father, I pray that we would know how to train our children, and that even as Paul said, follow me as I follow you, that we would be able to follow you in such a way that our children in turn could follow you. Father, I pray that you would just speak with us this morning. Father, I think of the many who aren't with us this morning. Give them safety wherever they are. Father, I pray that you would be with ones who may not feeling well. I pray that you would give them strength. You would just help them to recover. And I ask that you would just be with those who are traveling as well. Keep them safe also as they return home. Just go with us and keep us today. In your name I pray. Amen.